Well, Noosh, Ahmed, thank you for coming in today. Sisterhood of the Trades is who you're with, and you've come in from Buffalo area to come talk to us today. So thank you for making the trip. Excited to talk to you. As we were just talking before this, you've had a just like kind of a whirlwind, I would say, I'll say 5 years, just to keep it easy, 8 years maybe. But anyway, tell us what you're doing currently, Sisterhood of the Trades. Just kind of get us up to speed on what's happening right now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me, first of all. I am the CEO and co-founder of an organization of women in the trades. We have over 1,040 members right now, and it's basically just a platform where the girls interact with each other. They learn about each other's trades. They learn about tools they can use. They rant to each other about work-related or not work-related things. There's like a hobby section. So we really emphasize connecting with each other on like a sister level. So that kind of started out when I joined this group chat, and I was like, there's an underlying mission here. We can bring visibility to these girls' voices. I have been blessed to host my own podcast and be invited on podcasts like this with production levels such as like this. So I
figured
this is legit. This is really nice. You guys snapped with this one.
Yeah.
But it made me realize there's so much potential out there for these women, like hearing their stories. It's just there might be a disconnect when it comes to finding them. I'm on TikTok, of course. I'm the ripe age of 22. So right. A lot of my guests come from TikTok, and a lot of them are very big on TikTok. They are very big in advocacy and like trades work. So I specifically target them because I want them to know that the corporate world, the white collar world, so to speak, is also supporting you. Like they really like hearing your story and they want more of you. A lot of the times it seems like there aren't that many young people going into the trades. And while there is a very significant skills gap, I think there's a lot of people that are in the trades that don't get noticed. So I'm hoping that with our platforms, we can close that divide and make it seem like there are more of us.
Interesting comment. So what is the importance of being noticed?
Visibility, knowing that you're supported by other people. Like, for example, IMTS, I got to go last year, and it was the most life-changing moment of my life, really. And one of the things that really stood out to me were all these older folks that I thought maybe didn't support me or didn't really care that I was there. They were coming up to me. They were asking me for my story. They were talking to me. And I faintly remember, you know, on social media, remembering comments from other people's videos or on other people's videos about, like, people don't want you in the industry or this, that, and the third. And I'm like, that's false. I'm standing here in front of people who are actually like very important, who are telling me that I belong here. I have a space here and my voice is important. And that made me realize like hearing that like as someone else could probably change the whole course of their career. It could probably give them the confidence that they need to continue. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
Okay, so notice in the way that like maybe an athlete gets recognized for being good and it encourages them to stick with the game.
Exactly. And, okay. it makes them realize like I'm not alone also. Like there's people in my corner.
Right. And so there's because it's not as densely populated by women as it is men, the distance between those stories can be greater.
Exactly.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So you said a couple of things right out of the gate that I thought were, I think, went over them quickly because you're giving us a good kind of rundown, which is just sort of casually went past the idea of skills gap. And that's been something that, you know, like the likes of Mike Rowe have been beating that drum for like 20 years.
Yeah.
A really long time. And do you feel like his message that this is, it's coming home to roost, like this is actually occurring?
I think a lot of people are talking about the skills gap, and I hope this doesn't sound crazy, but I feel like nobody's doing anything about it.
So backing up, but you believe there is one?
There is one, yes. And nobody's doing anything about it. They're just talking about it. They're just saying, we have one. I think it's less of a skills gap and more of, I've posted about this a lot, it's more of a respect gap. It's also more of a education gap. I don't see people uplifting the trades as much as they should be, and yet they're, you know, they're claiming that no one wants to work in the industry. That's true, because sometimes the industry doesn't seem like it wants them to work there, you know? Like,
well, I think you have an intersection of what just kind of the culture of you know, you have let me get this thought out correctly, which is you have social media that, which is, I think, sort of spawn a culture of recognition, right? And the trades generally have been like, I go to work, I get my shit done, I go home, and, you know, that's what I did. And that's historically not been something that there's been an expectation of, just going and getting your work done. So it's sort of like this new frontier of trying to intersect social media, how that's sort of heightened people's just sort of it needs the wrong word because it makes it sound like the wrong thing. But there's a certain amount of recognition that is sort of expected as we go through our days.
Right.
And so it feels like the trades have fallen behind because it is – people look around and they're like, well, I want to go do something where I get recognized. And so trades are actually a great path forward career-wise, but fall short in the feel-good category.
Yeah. And – I think I definitely struggled with that in the beginning a lot because I wasn't recognized. I made myself recognized. And then I realized how much love I have for the industry, because being able to be a part of, like, for example, motorsport or the defense industry, like being part of making something happen, that is so inspiring. But a lot of people don't feel that, because a lot of people don't feel connected to the trade because they're not recognized. They don't see it as a, like you said, they see it as a job that they clock in and clock out of. And I think the white collar industry is really good at recognizing their employees and recognizing their team members. We're getting there. I think we just need to emphasize that we care about our employees. Like, that's what Gen Z at least is really looking for. And I feel like a lot of people are going to take this negatively and be like, well, Gen Z is super sensitive. Gen Z is bratty and has so many needs. Yes, we do. And things are changing. Change is inevitable. And in order to grow, you need to change. And this has to happen.
So let's wheel back to the skills gap. Yeah. So tell me, what does the skills gap look like to you? Like, when you think about that, what do you see?
I think I fall into the skills gap, really, because, okay, like, for example, there's so many machinists and older folks in machine shops that know so much, and I don't know as much as them. Well, I've also not had training, but I feel like a lot of kids that come out of CNC machining school also have that very big gap, because there's so much experience that older machinist has that isn't translated yet because they haven't had time with the younger person. So I fall into that skills gap because I haven't had that much time with my trainer, you know? And the way to close it is to actually build those relationships. Get a younger person in the door, have them apprentice under somebody that's been there for a while, and then also treat your older employees with respect, because they make or break your shop too. And I feel like a lot of shops don't respect the people that do the work.
Yeah, there's a lot you said there, but let me back up and kind of contextualize. Yes, yes. Like, okay, so for people who are listening, they maybe don't realize that you know your way around a machine shop, that you went to technical school. So let's, because without that key piece of information, it could be like, well, she's just sort of commentating from afar.
Right.
So tell us about what was your path? And I want to circle back to where we were, but let's just give some baseline information here, which is, how did you get to where you are currently?
Yeah. So for context, I was always into cars growing up and really wanted to work on my car. I didn't really know how to. So I took some high school automotive classes, and my teachers got in my ear about maybe applying to tech school, and that I would get a lot of support. Coming from a Muslim family, it was more difficult to like explain to my parents about how great of a opportunity this would be.
So yeah. Like, how did you bring that up? Like, your family culture, you just said, was like, okay, this is what we do in this family.
Yes, exactly. Right? We want to go to college because we didn't get a chance to go to college. Now we're in America. We want a 4-year degree. And I was like, I'm so burnt out from high school. I don't think I can do it for another 4 years at a higher level. Also, like, when I was in high school, I just took whatever classes other people took. I didn't have anything I really wanted to focus on. I took AP US History because my sister took AP US History 2 years prior. You know,
and like, that's probably pretty common.
I think so, yeah.
Where
and
I'm it's like, just, it's just exactly. Like, sure, I'll go there.
And I just got into automotive by chance because I was getting a car, learning how to drive, and figured I don't want to be stuck on the side of the road. So, and also, like, during this time, my TikTok was blowing up with cars. So I was like, you know what? This is cool. I want to get into this. I want to learn how to drive stick. I want to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I did. And I told my dad, I was like, Dad, I don't see myself in a 4-year
college.
Was
it like, Dad, I need to talk to you? Kind of
yeah,
thing.
It was like, Dad, let's sit down up. And have a conversation. Yeah. Because I remember very vividly my sister sitting down with my dad 2 years ago and having the conversation about what college in Boston she was going to go to. And so I knew that I was not going to have that same conversation.
Right.
I told my dad, Dad, I applied to 2 colleges and I applied to 6 tech schools. And he goes, what's a tech school? Like technology.
So
like
that's how you broke it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
you're not like, this is happening was
no,
sort of the
I,
message.
I was like, Dad, I did not apply to college. I was like, Dad, this is not for me. I can't do what Sabrina's doing. So much respect to her. But I don't want to live in a dorm with strangers, and I don't want to go to school every day for God knows how many hours a day. I also don't even know, like, I barely got past high school. Like, I'm going to be real with you. You thought I did good because I had all A's. I was scraping by the hair on my teeth, you know?
Yeah.
And or the skin on my teeth. So I, yeah, just broke the news that I only applied to
I'm
tech
I'm done
school.
With this shit.
I'm done with it. My brother was also like, you know what, maybe it's a good idea. Like, she applied for a lot of scholarships too, and I was telling them, like, my teachers really support it. The first ever high school teachers that have ever supported me, by the way. So I was like, look, like they got my back. Like, look, this is a $10,000 grant. This is another $5,000 one. Like, pretty soon I'm not going to have to pay for school
You're
at all.
Making it rain.
Exactly. And if, like, if it doesn't work out, I could just drop out and it doesn't cost anyone anything. And I could, I could go to college. I'll go to college, you know? Right.
Would you have really gone to college if you dropped out?
No, but I also wouldn't have dropped out. Like, I'm not, even if I didn't like it, I would have stuck through because I knew I'm not going to college. Like, unless it was for something that I genuinely thought I wanted to pursue and study, which right now I cannot think of anything I would want to go to college for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty happy with my dusty associate's degree, by the way, because I don't use it. I don't work in automotive, but being at NASCAR Tech helped me find my next opportunity. I don't think I mentioned, by the way, that I went to NASCAR Tech or how I picked that. Oh, okay.
You didn't. So I interrupted you because I was curious how the conversation went at the house.
Yeah, it was.
Because I read that USA Today article and it's like, they were kind of thinking more like med school kind of thing.
Yeah. And I was like, Dad, I'm dumb. No one's going to trust me with their life. I don't even trust me with mine. So let's not even do that. He was like, maybe law school then?
She's like, can I get a law school?
No, I'm not going to break my back. And also, like, I get really stressed. So I know I'm going to, like, lash out. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah, there's risks there.
Exactly. There's risks there. You might lose your family, sir. That's, like, come on. And
clean it up.
So I was looking at the list of automotive schools because that's what I wanted to pursue. And one stood out to me. It was NASCAR Tech. And
you're talking NASCAR as in stock car racing.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Which, spoiler alert, I've not gone to a NASCAR race ever. NASCAR isn't actually my thing. I really enjoy, like, the sport. It's just not my thing.
Sure.
I prefer more, Formula Drift.
But you ended up going to school there.
Exactly, because I was like, someone's going to look at my resume, see NASCAR, and immediately be interested in that. And
yeah, it's got a brand.
Exactly. And, like, hello, if I'm applying for automotive and the first thing they see is NASCAR, I think they're going to pick me over somebody else that, like, works at or went to a different school. So that was my plan. I attended NASCAR. I think maybe, like, 6 months into my time at school, I was like, okay, I need to get a job because I have rent to pay. Unlike, I don't know if college is the same, but, like, we have rent to pay in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
with roommates that also pay their rent. So I'm like, okay, I need to figure it out. And I also have to pay for my groceries and like all the other bills. So I am like a mini adult right now. Mm-hmm. I need to get a job. Like, I need to not get a mini adult job. I need to get an actual job. And I was working at CVS.
I need a baller job.
I need a baller job. And for an entry level automotive technician position, someone who doesn't know anything, it's like $13, $14 an hour. Mm-hmm. That is not going to cut it. I also had school.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
You need to get paid.
Need to get paid. And I was seeing these signs at the school that said CNC machinist, $19 an hour. And in my head, I'm like, okay, if this is in an automotive school, how hard could it be? You know, like, mm-hmm. I think I could do it. And I was right. I didn't know anything about CNC. Like,
this shit can't be hard.
It can't be hard. It's literally, it's pushing a button. Like, if as long as you know.
I've been pushing people's buttons my whole life.
Thank you. I was like, I'm a professional button pusher. Like, that is my thing. My dad can also attest for that. So. Sure. I applied and I got the job. I very much bullshit my way through the interview. I was like, yeah, I can wrench. I'm in school for automotive. I know how to work on a car. I know my way around a tool or two. Like,
it's offensive you're even asking.
Exactly. Yeah. And they hired me on. They paid me $19 an hour. I was a very happy 18-year-old.
Did you have a clue? When you, I mean, you said you bullshit your way through. So you get the job, and were you like, okay.
Well, they gave me a trainer, which was nice. They gave me a trainer because they knew I was entry level. So they were like, okay, this is actually perfect because you don't know much. We can actually meld you into the kind of person we want you to be. You have no bad habits. And I was like, I'm going to use that from now on. So whenever I go to apply for
I literally don't know shit.
No, literally. Whenever I go to apply for a job, I'm like, I actually have no bad habits. I'm very teachable. And that's my first thing I say. Like, I do know about manufacturing, but I know very little. And I'm very teachable, easy to teach, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that is what got them. They had me start off on a lathe. I was literally just pushing buttons, checking parts, calling it a day. And I realized my production numbers are really high. And
you better slow down.
I was like, yeah, I'm like really good at this. And then I was like, wait a minute. This is a car part for like a transmission. Am I not into cars? Hello?
Yeah.
And then I thought even more. I was like, they make race car parts this way.
Yeah.
They make race car parts this way. I have a race car. I don't. But, you know, in my heart, I do. I could. Exactly. I could build my own race car.
This just hasn't been chosen yet.
Exactly. Now, how cool is that? Machining your own parts for your race car. That's
pretty cool.
That was what really pushed me over the edge, and I started to hyperfix it.
A bit of a eureka moment for
you? Yeah, exactly. It was a wake-up call, and I started to look for motorsport machining jobs. I was hyperfixated on videos.
We're talking unhealthy here?
Very unhealthy. Good. Like, I'm talking like, you want to know my LinkedIn usage?
Yeah.
It's like 8 hours.
Per
week.
Yeah, that's a good bit.
It's like, oh my God, like I don't, that's my most used social media, which is honestly for my age, I think that's really great actually.
Yeah, that's like having, that's like telling someone you've got like a library card or something. You know, it's like, it's sort of like the hierarchy of like, what's the most mature place you could be?
Yeah, you know? Actually. And I think it's great. Like, it is my biggest flex. And one of my friends, Brooke, she likes to call us LinkedIn warriors because of how much time we spend writing posts and like scrolling through.
So what are you doing like
on LinkedIn?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know what you're doing, but like, what is, as you approach LinkedIn, like, what's your thought? I'm doing like, what am I doing here? How
gonna,
is it a tool
I'm
for
gonna
you?
Talk. Yeah. I'm going to talk. I'm just going to share things about myself because I know that people on TikTok do that a lot. I'm gonna keep bringing up social media because I'm very heavily inspired by the people I see on that app because they're doing a day in my life. They're posting about themselves. And I'm like, okay, I need to do that. But I don't think I'm going to do it on TikTok because I don't want to get bullied by people.
Also really saturated.
Exactly. So I started on LinkedIn because I was like, I figured the people that I want to reach also are on this app, like the business owners that are making parts and making softwares. They're going to be on this app more than they're going to be on TikTok. So I was right.
Mm-hmm. Again?
Within my like second month of being on LinkedIn, I think I had over 800 connections. So I was like, okay, there's people here that want like to teach me and they want to see me succeed. And it's like just been a diary since then, really. Like I'm not professional on my LinkedIn at all.
Well, authenticity translates.
Exactly.
And if you just, it's almost like a natural phenomenon where people just know. if something's contrived or if it's authentic.
Exactly. And I think that's what's
just translates.
Like, right.
And so, okay, so you were at NASCAR, and then what happened? Where do you go after that?
So after I graduated, I worked as a machine operator at a valve shop, and I kind of, like, got a promotion.
Like trumpet valves or?
Sorry, race car valves.
Oh,
so drag
race car
cars.
Valves.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So I like, went straight head into, like, motorsport. I was like, okay, this is perfect. Like, now I get to possibly even meet race car drivers when they come in to get parts. Hello, that's the coolest thing. And like in the middle of NASCAR city,
maybe
give
them a few tips.
Maybe, you know, maybe get some free tickets too.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. And I actually ended up getting like somewhat of a promotion. I got to switch over to the Swiss operating side. So like the Swiss machines, and I was doing more setup. So less button pushing and more of getting the machine ready to run production parts.
And do you like that more?
Oh, 100% more. I mean, button pushing is great. CNC operating is great. Don't get me wrong. It's very easy, good money, and very, very entry level. Anybody could do it. I think my little brother could even do it very well.
Yeah.
But I wanted something more. I was like, okay, I'm getting bored. Like, I want to do something more. And like, I saw the older guy, and he was like very nice. He was always wanting to teach somebody. He was alone running the machine. So whenever I had like 5 minutes, I would go over there and I would talk to him until I was told to go back to run my machine.
Yeah.
And I would keep doing that. And I think upper management noticed and they were like, let's just throw her on there. And
she's literally not going to stop doing it.
She's like, I literally would not stop. And like, even after shift was over, I could have got overtime and stayed operating the machine. But instead I actually clocked out because I wasn't supposed to be working with him. I clocked out, didn't get overtime, and I would stay and work on the other side, just trying to learn like what he's doing. I wouldn't touch anything because, again, I don't know anything. I'm just asking him questions, ripping it off. Like, so what does this button do? Why are you doing it this way? Why does the bar go in like this? Mine doesn't have bars. Why doesn't mine have bars? Like, stuff that I could very much Google, but I had him in front of me right now. You know, might as well ask him. And I think he's actually the one that talked to upper management about moving me over because he's like, she won't stop. She wants to do this. Like, I need help. She might as well be the help. And I went from there.
Okay, so you're at NASCAR, then you go work at a machine shop for drag, basically drag cars,
yes,
valves. And you're buddying up to learn how to make certain parts from a guy who's been there for a really long time.
Yeah. He's been machining for 30 years, so I was like, this is the perfect man to leech onto and learn everything I can.
I'm going to take everything out of this guy's head and put it in mine.
Exactly.
Okay. So what happens? So you get moved from like there to here at that company.
And then he unfortunately had gotten fired. So I was like 3 weeks into this, didn't even know how to turn on the machine after like a night's run. So I had to call him and like have him walk me through it. I, you know, called him to have him walk me through.
Hey, I know you just got
banned, I know you're not here no more, but like, how do I turn the machine on after it's been running all night? And where does the oil, like, where do I put it back into? Like, simple stuff like that I was, like, still learning. Or like, hey, if the battery is dead, where do I get batteries from?
You're like, you know, can we just do FaceTime?
Actually, I really wanted to, but he's a little old, so he didn't even know how to do that.
Yeah,
so I was like,
he's on a rotary phone somewhere.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna figure this out. And I went to YouTube. I went to LinkedIn because, again, LinkedIn network had helped me so much. So I was like, this is maybe the perfect time for me to tell them that I'm looking for a trainer. Like, I need help. I want to do this. And they came back with so much force. It was amazing. I got so much support.
So it's what's amazing though is how much people, as soon as you sort of raise the flag that I'm trying to do something or I need help doing this, it's just like people like to help.
They're so supportive. And like, you don't think,
and that's like the world's biggest secret, by
right,
the way.
You don't think that they're gonna help you, and they are. They're so excited. And
because just like the guy at the machine shop, it's because people love it when they have a knowledge set that is actually of interest to somebody else.
Actually, that is the perfect way to put it. Exactly. And that's how it felt at IMTS. Like, these people were excited to see someone eager and happy to be there and like taking pictures of everything. And I think that's why they kept talking to me, is because they were like, oh, she wants to be here. She's just not like, she's
not a. It comes back to like, why you end up with friends with people. It's like common interests.
Right? Exactly.
And it's kind of that simple, which is, it shouldn't be surprising because that's how we make friends in the first place.
Honestly, talk about friends. I didn't really have very many growing up. Like, I'm very bad at making friends, very bad at communicating with people, actually. Mm-hmm. I honestly, the beginning of my tech school career, I only hung around guys. And it, the beginning, it was because there was only guys.
Because they basically don't say anything.
They don't say anything, exactly. Yeah. And it was because in the beginning, there was only guys around. I did make one really good friend, Lucy. I love her so much. Mm-hmm. And but she was my only one female friend from tech school. And I like look back and I'm like, I'm hitting myself in the head because I know that there were so many girls in those classes. And I could have went and talked to them. I don't know what stopped me from talking
to them.
So
you can actually attest to the fact. So let me set this up, which is, I'm in a band.
Yeah.
So we go to band practice and I come home. My wife's like, so what'd you guys talk about? I'm like, literally nothing. Like, we walked in and said, hey, turned on our shit. We played for 2.5 hours and I came home. Like, that's actually what you can attest to. Right. That's probably what actually occurred.
Right, exactly.
And I'm not like withholding a bunch of information. It's just literally nothing was, it's like, hey, yeah. I'm fine. How are you?
And literally. And I love that for you. I've actually been lucky enough to find my friend group pretty recently. Uh-huh. It's really hard to find people who are as passionate in like what you're doing. And they don't judge you for putting as much work in something as you do.
Same wavelength.
Right. And like I noticed a lot in the beginning, like I spent a lot of time in the sisterhood. Like I spend 40 hours at work and then 20 hours when I'm not at work. In the Discord or planning things. And I know that can get really irritating sometimes when you're friends with somebody. They're like, you don't have time for me, you know? But these five girls that I met recently make so much time just for the sisterhood that we're able, like, that is a hangout sometimes. Like, we have a meeting. After the meeting, we stay on a little bit longer. We talk. We chill. We act like sisters. And
yeah.
I'm very blessed that even though it took me 22 years to find a good, solid friendship and like a good friend group, I found that and they're all very mature. Like it doesn't feel like high school. Like it feels like we are in it for the long run, you know?
Yeah, it's a more cerebral sort of setting.
Exactly.
well, it did give you the ability to acknowledge when the real thing was coming along.
Exactly.
You know, it sounds like it was a pretty bright contrast. So back to, so let's just say we've set the context that you know your way around the machine shop and we can get, circle back to that. But so back to the skills gaps thing. So when you're looking at it, what do you see? You said I may be part of it and that's kind of why I interrupted
you. Yeah, I'm most definitely a part of it because he left 3 weeks in. There's so much that I haven't learned from him. And still to this day, actually, when I text him, because I have, like, I reach out to him. He's a mentor of mine. There's still so much that I'm like, I still have yet to learn from you. Like, if I had a chance to work with him again in the future, I'd be really excited to. Because the older generation is a wealth of knowledge that I don't think anybody really realizes. I mean, actually, we do realize it, but we don't put an emphasis on it. We don't put as much of an emphasis as we should on it.
So do you think, so when you're talking about skills gap, it's like people just not knowing how to do what a generation before them knew how to do.
Exactly.
Or it's also, I think you have a couple of moving parts. One is there's just this feeling of people who are probably, you know, of age or whatever to enter the skills or the trades, it's kind of a disenfranchised feeling, I think, which is they're like, well, no, I mean, I feel like this is kind of, you know, I want something more. But at the same time, what gives you a better feeling of achievement than like building stuff? And that's ultimately what it's about is like, some people argue that happiness resides in their side of achievement. And that's so important. So I think you have, you know, women and men who just feel that need effectively the industries need, the trades need what you're doing, which is like, okay, if one of the real underlying issues here is that people just don't feel like they're getting recognized for the hard work that they're doing, let's create those pipelines for that. Let's just do that and let's get past it.
Right. And it's not that hard to shout out somebody. Like, it's, you don't need to hire somebody to do that. It's literally just make one post, take a picture, go talk to them on the floor even. Mm-hmm. Have a little mini interview. How are you doing? How's the work doing? Do you mind if we make a little post about you? And it costs nothing. And it takes maybe like an hour. And the return is a loyal employee.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you remember these things from growing up. There was just kind of that passing comment one day that you still remember like it happened 5 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. And that for some reason it turned out to be a guidepost in the way that you think. And it just kind of got dropped right there. And that's sort of what you're talking about, which is sort of these sort of acknowledgments and sort of anchor points for them where they can, you know, push forward off of it. And so what do you view as, I don't want to put words in your mouth, like what are you viewing as, if there are separate components to causing this skills gap, what do you view them to be? Because I think what the sisterhood is talking about is sort of a layer of the bigger picture, right? Which is like, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. So what do you think?
I'm like, how do I answer this?
You think it's just like people are lazy and they don't want to get up?
I don't think it's that. Mm-hmm. I think it's people thinking that also harms.
Yes.
100% harms it. I think, again, guidance counselors in high schools tend to always market the trades as dark, dirty, dangerous. And mm-hmm. they still do it to this day. And they're always quick to... Don't go to tech school. Don't go to tech school. Like, you have so much potential. What does that mean? What do you mean I have so much potential and I shouldn't go to tech school? I feel like that's where my potential shines, you know, going into doing something that is better for the
what
world.
What do you think they mean?
They mean that your grades are too good. You should go study humanities.
Mm-hmm.
Or go study English. And do what with the rest of my life? Be depressed?
Mm-hmm.
No. I want to do stuff. I want to make stuff. I want to be part of the change, you know? And there's other ways to be part of the change, but I feel like the trades are like the biggest one because you are building the next generation. You're building things that people are going to use on a day-to-day basis. That is so inspiring, but nobody ever really highlights that. Or they do, but they don't highlight it at the high school level. And I think that's where the gap begins because they don't want to... They don't want to learn because they don't think it's the right thing for them. So they don't get that education. The apprentices that come in sometimes don't have the best education. I actually can't speak for that. I'm not going to speak for that because I am not an apprentice. But I've heard things about, like, sometimes tech school students don't have all the experience that they say they do. That's fine. That's why you teach them. That's why you train them. That's why that's a thing. And mm-hmm. people always expect these students to come out with like 5-6 years of experience. And that doesn't help close the skills gap. That just makes it way harder for them to even enter in. I got lucky. I was able to talk my way through my interview. A lot of shops aren't like that. They want to see you have 5 years of experience. That's not closing the skills gap at all.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that answered your question. I feel like I'm like dancing around it. I'm like not really sure how
you
to
do.
Answer it.
Let me ask you a pointed question, like, which is, if the internet got turned off, mm-hmm. what would happen to the skills gap?
I don't know. I don't think it would.
If they didn't see other people time they had something in their hand getting acknowledged, you think that they wouldn't have an expectation of getting the same acknowledgement for the things that they do?
Yeah, I don't think they would. Like, I don't think, for one, they would even know about the trades or about the people. So, yeah, they wouldn't know about that acknowledgement. But I also, at the same time, I kind of feel like if the technology went away for a day, more people might turn to the trades.
They would, because other people wouldn't know. And exactly. They would just now be focused on probably earning money for their family.
Exactly. So I'm like, well, now there's two sides of that. So honestly,
I'll leave
you
with that thought.
That
maybe think on that, because I think that a big part of it is the exposure to kind of fame and fortune. And mm-hmm. and whether it's true or not, it's being experienced through their phone. And I'm not advocating or not advocating for it. It just seems like an observation that these things seem to be kind of lockstep.
Yeah, kind of inadvertently connected, yeah.
Well, when did the internet come around? And, you know, so it just seems like, I don't know, maybe it's a coincidence.
I kind of do get where you're coming from. I don't know if maybe you should put this in the podcast. It might be a little bit controversial, but like as soon as YouTube came out, a lot more kids are like, I'm going to become a content creator. I'm going to become a YouTuber. I'm not going to really either go to college or work with my hands. I'm going to be a YouTuber. And I think a lot of issues come from that.
Well, what would be an issue that would come from that?
The kid invests so much time into creating content that they don't really, one, have a niche, or two, have an idea what they're doing, because
you have
an
inexperienced voice.
Exactly. You should find something to do and YouTube about that. But I'm very much like a social media should be your second thing. Like, you should do uh-huh. social media with your day job and like use it to help your day job, but it shouldn't become your day job. At the same time, like, the people who do make social media their job, that's really awesome. Like, great. Like, good for you.
Super. No, I think it's
awesome.
Fabulous.
Right.
And, you know, but here's the thing, is it is a job. Like, those people yeah. who really do, like, really get that done in a meaningful way.
It's a job,
like,
yeah.
that is no joke to do that. So it's maybe didn't start there, but they're like, whoa, I'm getting a lot of money from YouTube. If I double down, what happens? And, you know, now you've got a business.
Right. But sometimes I've also noticed, like, that can backfire, like doubling down and, like, fully focusing on content creation.
Yeah. Like, sometimes you lose the essence.
Yeah, exactly. You lose the authenticity. That's why I'm like, I'm like a really big fan of social media, because I want more people that are in the trades to post about them, because I really enjoy seeing that stuff. You know, I enjoy watching videos about that stuff. And while I might not want to be the one that makes the videos, I like tuning in, and I like,
yeah.
I'm sure there's so many other people who are like, I like seeing the process. I like seeing how it happens.
Well, no, I think it's going to catch on.
I hope so.
No, I think social media is probably going to be here for a bit. So winding it back. So getting yes. past this skills gap. So tell me about, I know you have a lot of partners that you're working with, and
yes.
you're creating this podcast sort of network. So tell me about that.
So, okay. I'll start with the first
podcast,
I guess.
Just take your time.
So,
it's a lot to unpack.
It's a lot, huh? So we have Next Gen MFG, and that's the podcast I host. It's mainly for people in the skilled trades, both men and women. So far, I've only interviewed women, but I have an episode with Eric coming out soon. Eric is my friend's fiance. And so I interview people in the STEM industries and people who are entrepreneurs, just to kind of give the next generation an idea of other careers that don't require 4 years of college. And also, it's kind of like targeted to parents too, because like my parents didn't really believe in tech school, and I'm sure other people's parents have the same beliefs. And it's kind of like, hey, look, this person was very successful, very fulfilled, and isn't depressed, and they didn't go to college, they didn't have their degree, you know? So that's that podcast. And as I met and started the Sisterhood of Trades with the other three co-founders, I realized we could start a podcast, like, for our sisterhood, called The Sisterhood Takes the Mic. And it's basically us taking the mic and bringing it to one of our members. We interview them on their story, any advice that they have. And we would eventually actually like to invite allies and partners to join our podcast, so that maybe if they want to, like, promote their job and like say, hey, we're looking for more women to be hired, we could do that. And mm-hmm. our end goal with the sisterhood is kind of to be like a resume system. Like, if you are looking for a woman that's in Pennsylvania that knows how to weld and you want to kind of get in contact with her, I want the sisterhood to be able to be that platform that could do that. So we have that podcast, and you can tune into that on Spotify and YouTube. And we
yeah.
have a third podcast. Our CSO, Brooke Lang, has started her own podcast with her fiance, Eric. It's called Two Bolts Short of a Flange.
Love it.
I love yeah. the name. They
it's
really
clever.
Right? I'm like, that is perfect. And like the last question they ask in every episode really ties into the name too, so it's perfect. And they're two steam fitters out of Toronto, so it's cool to like see that relationship dynamic and see the trades and how they play a role in their relationship. And then also they interview other people in the trades, both men and women, to again hear their advice, talk to them about their story. Like, goes back to visibility. We were really big on visibility. We want as many voices to be heard as possible. And then our most recent podcast, it's it's coming out soon. It's called The Union Mic. It's hosted by Carly, who is our COO. She is in the union. She's basically interviewing people that are in the union and people that are like in the organizational structure to spread awareness, educate people like me, because I don't know anything about the union. So I go to her a lot when I have questions or when someone asks me something about the union. My first person to tag is Carly. So that'll be that podcast. And maybe there's going to be more in the future. I'm not sure, but those are our biggest
podcasts. That's a lot to pull together.
Yeah, it is. And then also we have articles. We have newsletters that we post weekly for the Sisterhood of Trades. You can find it on our website and our LinkedIn. And then our...
What's your website?
Sisterhoodoftrades.com.
Okay.
So you can find our podcast and our blogs and our Sisterhood special shout-outs, or our Sisterhood Spotlight shout-outs, which is like learn about some of our members and like what they do and how old they are or whatever. And so our website is really cool. I spent a ton of time designing that and figuring out how exactly I wanted it to highlight our mission and our members, and I think it does it pretty well. But Brooke and Carly post bi-weekly articles on different weeks and different
days.
That's
twice a week?
I'm sorry. Bi-weekly is once every 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. And then...
Bi-monthly
is like once every 2 months. Bi-weekly is like bi-weekly pay once every 2 weeks.
One of these days I'll get that straight.
Dude, it's so confusing to me because I also was like, bi-weekly, twice a week. No, it's definitely not. When I was applying to a job that paid bi-weekly, I realized it's not. That's not what that means. But
yeah, true.
And then my Noosh Makes Chip Happen article comes out weekly. So we try to have like a good amount of content coming out.
Just break it.
Might as well. Sorry. A good amount of content coming around, whether it be about our experiences or random stories that happened. Or, like, I love talking about my disdain for AI-generated images. So I write
Tell
about
that right now. I'd love to hear
Oh, my God. Like I'm very tired of people using AI-generated pictures because you're wanting to get more kids in the trades. They don't really like AI. Like, they see it as trashy, cheap, waste of time. When you use a generated picture like that, especially if you're someone who has the means to go to your machine shop, grab your phone and snap a picture, and like and nothing proprietary in the way that, like, why don't you do that? Or bring it back to visibility. Why don't you grab an actual person on the floor, ask them to like pose for a picture? And I bet you they would really like love to. They wouldn't mind. So like that, I feel like it would get you a lot more, not just interactions, but support too, because nobody wants to see, at least I don't want to see an AI.
Which means nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
It applies to all.
It's like, and it's so obvious because it's so lazy. All you did was write the post and then here.
Did you really write it?
Hold on. Let's backtrack to that. Did you even really write it? Because I've had some issues lately where I'm like, I know that's AI generated.
Yeah.
And I like, I don't report it, but I like hide it from my feed because I don't care about that. I don't care for something that you didn't write. And I think that's something that our members do really well. Like our admin team is very much, we cuss in our LinkedIn posts sometimes, you know? Sometimes they're not grammatical and that's okay. That's real. I'm not putting my stuff through Grammarly to like double check. I'm posting it as I'm sitting on the toilet because I want to get this out there.
Yes.
And it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, deal with it.
So literally deal with it. Yeah, tangent aside, I think that's
well,
it.
Well, okay, so talk about all things kind of circle back to skills gap. I'm not a huge, like, I don't spend a lot of time talking about it, but in this context, it just all sort of leads back to that in my head, which is – Now you compound it with AI, and you were talking earlier about like entry-level jobs and things like that and pushing a button and so forth. Do you have a grasp on, or have you formulated any thinking around what AI is going to do in that world?
I've listened to a lot of podcasts that talk about it, and I'm like, I'm not really worried that AI is going to take jobs, because I think what it's going to do is take more monotonous tasks away. Mm-hmm. That way people can do stuff like pursue quality inspection or program parts. Like, you don't actually have to be the one pushing the buttons. You can do something more. And I think it'll force the people who got complacent and who got comfortable getting paid $19 to $18 an hour just pushing buttons. I think it'll force them to be hungrier for more, you know, do more. Like, don't just settle for pushing this green button. Learn how to program the part that's in there. Learn how to write code. Learn how to set the machine up so that way the next person has it easier. Or learn how to train somebody. Learn how to help the next generation.
Be useful. That's simple. Yeah. If in terms of like, let's say the U.S. economy takes, you can use just simple numbers. Let's say it takes 100 workers to make the whole economy work. Do you think that AI is going to make it so we only need like 80 workers?
I hope that AI makes it so that way all of the people who were working in like less than ideal conditions mm-hmm. are now working in more higher up positions where they're doing things that are more, not high risk, but like high risk, high reward. Like, that's where I see them. I see that same 100 people, they're just promoted, moving up, doing things that I don't want to say are more important, but are more important, you know?
I understand. I know what you mean. Right. So there's going to be, but do you not think that there's going to be then become overlap? Like, there are only so many, I guess, rungs of a given organization. And so because, you know, they're for-profit businesses, they'd be like, okay, we got 3 people now in the same place.
I think there will definitely be rough conversations to be had about like laying off people.
Uh-huh.
But I also think like there's going to need, we need people to also understand what the AI and what the robots are doing. So it might be an opportunity for being useful in that, you know, area.
Well, you raise a good point, which is, just because this job doesn't exist anymore doesn't mean another one won't.
Exactly. They always need jobs. There's always going to be something else. That's what's really nice about manufacturing too, is like there's so much. Like, you can never know. You will never know one thing about everything, because there's always going to be another revision. There's always going to be the next thing. There's always going to be a new update. So
you think you'd switch from being the dog to watching the dog?
Exactly. And then when you have more time because you're watching the dog, you can train another dog. Mm-hmm. You can buy another dog.
That'd be like a great strategy. Like, there's a coworker you don't like.
Yeah.
Train that dog to do exactly what they do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you noticed, but this software does exactly what they do. Mm-hmm. Just raising that point.
Just letting you know.
Just going to roll that ball into play for you.
But then maybe they can find a role somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. No, that's an option. Maybe like a resume builder you could make for them.
Exactly.
So the sisterhood, what are your goals? I heard what you said, but are there sort of these transcending goals for this?
Yes. So our dream, like our end goal, is to fund scholarships for women in the trade. So we're looking to partner with existing nonprofits, get our name out there, and hopefully change a young girl's life, because scholarships changed my life. They basically opened the whole world to me. I was able to actually pursue this career because of all the scholarships, and I'm sure there's other girls that are going through the same thing. Or even like tooling scholarships, to be able to gift someone who needs it with a toolbox. Because again, growing up, I didn't have tools. Like, I think my dad had like a box of like hammers and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So like we didn't do that stuff. All the tools that I bought were on my own when I was in school. And I feel like, you know, a scholarship would have helped a lot. And that is what I would like to do for other girls, especially other girls that were in situations like me. And then our other dream is to attend workshops and like attend trade shows, because again, trade shows are life changing, and that all that connecting and networking and support makes me realize like I want to be here more than anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that, you know, other people hearing that will solidify them to stay here as well. And back to workshops, teaching the next generation is also invaluable. You cannot put a price on that.
Who's the dream partner for this?
Anybody, literally anybody. Anybody that cares about the next generation, Snap-on, Milwaukee, like.
I mean, like Nike, whoever.
Shoot, if Nike wanted to collab with us, that would be something like Marlboro, I'm open to.
Like anybody.
Anybody, literally anybody. Because also manufacturing is vast. If you really think about it, I could partner with, what's that paper company? Shoot. The one that, who but WB Mason, I think, right?
Okay.
I could even partner with them because they manufacture paper. Like, yeah, really? I mean,
if they make the cut.
If they make the cut. Oh, that was funny. You know that I mean? Was funny.
See what I did there?
I do. That was good. That was a good one. But honestly, we're really open to partnering with anybody because we have 50 trades in our Discord server, so I'm sure if not manufacturing, it aligns with one of the trades that are there. And our admin team, we have a pipe fitter, a steam fitter, a welder, and a mason, and someone who is...
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Actually, matter of fact, basically a partridge in a pear tree. She is a heavy equipment mechanic, and now she's transitioning to her iron worker apprentice, or to be an iron worker.
So let me kind of pull this conversation together, which is... You started this, what, is 8 years ago fair? Is that fair?
That might be a little bit too much. I think I started in the trades, how old am I? I started in tech school at 18,
okay.
22.
Almost 23.
Almost 23.
Yeah, getting kind of old.
Don't remind me. Yeah,
sorry. so you started this journey with telling your dad, I'm not going to Harvard. Mm-hmm. And is just kind of evaluate this for me, which is you started off 5 years ago with an idea in your head, which was I'm going to technical school and I'm going to, you know, learn how to be machining things and things like that, which I know you still enjoy and you still do. But it could just kind of evaluate your journey for me. What, like, is it where, are you where you thought you'd be? Just kind of walk me through kind of what the starting idea was and then where are we?
Yeah, I had no idea I was going to end up here. If you told me when I was 16 that I was going to, one, host a podcast, I would have said, you're on something. And two, mm-hmm. if you would have told me that I'm meeting all these people, all these older folks that are like, that have business cards, like that's what threw me for a loop. I made a business card.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought that I would ever be important enough. And I say that in quotations because I feel like that is something that's important. I've never felt like that would be me. Mm-hmm. And so now all of a sudden I'm doing this stuff. Yeah, no, 16-year-old me would have laughed at you and said, okay, goodbye. Mm-hmm. And I'm also like not working on cars like I thought I was going to do. I fully am doing something I've never thought. Like I never thought I was going to be in manufacturing. I knew I was going to like do stuff with my hands. Like I would love to make things, was really into fabricating, mm-hmm. but I could not have assumed that this is the way I would end up going. And now to like be in an advocacy role where I'm actually meeting people all the time and scheduling
things.
Yeah,
you're spear tipping.
It's
different.
This is very, very new, but also very exciting. And I could see that it's a good thing because I'm getting messages from the sisterhood members who are like, this is life changing. Like, I needed this. And like, thank you for looking over my resume.
It's messages like, from the hood.
Right. Except messages from the hood. Exactly. You know what? I might take that. I might start a little TikTok series. Messages from the hood.
So, how's your dad doing with this? Is he like caught his breath and he's kind of come full circle? Like,
to be honest, he's still like, I don't know what you're doing in those meetings all day long. Like, I still don't understand it, but good job. Like, I don't think I've ever seen it before. And, like, I'm not going to speak for my whole family, because it's a lot. It's a big family, you know. Okay. Brown people are big. But I don't think okay. I don't think anybody's been in like a newspaper about trades before, like, or like in a magazine about trades before. So my dad was like, immediately when he first saw that magazine, he was like, oh, this is what you're doing. You're not just working with your hands, but you're doing something, like.
Yeah.
What? And like, apparently he's always had like an inkling that I was going to do something public, like with my voice. Yes. So he, I guess, knew. I never, like, I grew up, I avoided people in high school like the plague. Like, I went to school.
Was this just because you thought they were dumbasses, actually?
No, I was just very anxious, like very. It got to the point where it got in the way of like school a lot. Like, I would.
You just had anxiety about it?
Very bad. Like, actually, one of my friends, me and her, like, still connect about this a lot, because I'm like, I'm still, a little part of me is still very scared of going back to my high school. Mm-hmm. It's just that, like, fear. I don't know what it is.
There's also it's kind of like when families get back together, there's a tendency to revert as well. Like, mm-hmm. could you really walk in there and, like, mic drop it? Or would that just be, like, you know, so there's just sort of the, your mind has sort of been contextualized yeah. for, like, different like times
of
your life.
When I go back to my hometown, I feel like I'm 16 again. So I actually avoid my hometown like the plague.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty serious.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't really want to. And it's crazy to think about, because, like, bitch, you're literally on podcasts and you can't go to your hometown for a weekend.
Or, but, I mean, to build on what you said, you could also say, this is actually what made me who I am.
True, true. I think it did, for sure. I think I would love, like, to go back to my high school and award a scholarship to somebody
after
in my high
get
school.
Your award.
Yeah, you're right. After I get my award,
yeah, like,
where's my participation award?
Where's,
you know,
my
what I mean?
Stuff?
Right.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll start participating. You know. So, well, I want to say thank you for coming in today. It was really fun to learn about the various things that you're doing. And I know it's a lot of stuff, but it clearly has a direction. And I would say, yeah, keep going.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is a crazy setup that you guys have here. I'm like, this is legit. This is how you do it. So I'm taking notes. Thank you so much for inviting me and having me up here.
You bet. Thanks.